even we brought into this place, Lord, that we could just set it aside, God, and not pick it up. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Has anybody ever heard of a guy named Nick Wallenda? Ever heard Nick Wallenda? He was kind of making headlines a couple of years ago. He still does, pops up every now and then. He's a pretty neat guy. He is part of a family called the Seven Flying Wallendas, or the Flying Wallendas. And it's a family of stunt artists or daredevils, these people who go and they do these crazy things. And the crazy stuff that they get into, or that he specifically does, is he does these tightrope walks. And maybe you've heard of it. A couple years ago, he did one where he walked across. He was the first person to do a tightrope walk right across the Niagara Falls, like right over where the falls are going down. And he walked across that as it's all wet and the water is coming up, the mist is coming up, and he walked across that tightrope, you know, just staring at fear in the face, really. He did another one where he went from one skyscraper to another. This was done on live television, and here he was in Chicago, and he was way up high in the skyscrapers in Chicago, and he had suspended his tightrope from one skyscraper to another, and for about eight terrifying minutes he was there, and he was going, and I actually think that's pretty quick. He said he planned on doing some things. He was going to take a selfie while he was up there, and he decided it was a little bit too windy. It was the Windy City. And he said it was a little too windy, so he just hurried his way across. But then he followed that up by just climbing a couple to a building next to that. And he went and he did another walk that was blindfolded across from skyscraper to skyscraper. This guy is crazy. Absolutely crazy. But I listened to an interview that they were talking to him after that walk. He was still upon the rooftop there, and he was talking about that walk and about what he's thinking about. And he said to the person who was interviewing him, they were asking him, you know, how do you do this? How is it that you're not scared to death? And he said, you just need to stay calm and focus on your next step. He said, there's no time for fear to enter into your mind. He said, you can't allow fear to enter into your mind. You know, it's sad to say, but there are some people who are God-fearing people, people who have the Spirit of God in them, but yet they still live governed by fear. Allowing fear to be the predominant voice in their life, speaking into their life and controlling situations, controlling their destiny, because we're bound by fear. And I'm tired of allowing fear to control things. And really what it does is it limits the possibility of what can take place. It limits the possibility of who we can reach, the people that we can have an impact on. Living by fear causes us to limit the possibility of all that God has for us. You know, God has infinite things that He could do with our lives. Well, Josh, God could do incredible things, but I know that every one of us, we have some things that we're a little bit scared about, some insecurities maybe that we have, some things that we might be afraid of. And so we walk in fear and we don't accomplish all the things that God truly could do in us if we just allowed Him, or if we just overcame the fear that was in our life. You know, I heard it said that that 80% of fear comes from your sight, while 20% comes from the four remaining senses. Do we have anybody that is scared of heights? Anybody scared of heights? Yeah. You know, really, that comes from sight. If you had no idea that you were 20 stories up in the air, then, you know, what's the big deal? But it comes from your sight. You understand that. Anybody scared of spiders? Yeah. I thought about throwing some spiders up here, but I know some people would not appreciate that. So you got some spider. Yeah, it's out of a fear. You see a spider and you just react. There's some reaction that just happens because the fear comes through your sights. Or maybe it's a fear. This is kind of an irrational fear, maybe, but a fear of clowns. Anybody have like a fear of clowns? And maybe you're just like, I don't want to put my hand up. You got somebody else raising your hand for you. And where does that come from? I don't know. I mean, I guess I kind of know. But there's just some irrational fear. There's some things that we have, but it's by our sight. We see these things and we're scared of them. And I don't know exactly how accurate that statement is. 80% of it comes from fear, comes from our sight. But I do know this. That it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. And if you're walking by faith, then you don't have time to be scared of all the things that are coming your way, because you understand that God is greater than any of it. God is greater. God knows your future. God knows the things that are coming up in your life. God understands the things that you're facing in life. Maybe it's, you know, money's running low. What am I going to do? And you're scared. You're wondering, what is my next step? How am I going to get past this? Maybe it looks like everything is just stacked up against you. Everything in life is just stacked up against you, and you have no idea, how am I getting out of this situation? I want to tell you about a guy in the Old Testament, Elisha. You might know him. He was a powerful prophet of God, and here he was. He was helping the Israelite king, and the king of Aram was a nearby country, and Aram, they were coming and they were at war with Israel, and so the king of Aram was getting a little frustrated because every time that he was making a move with his army, he was planning an attack over here, or he was planning an attack over there. And every time that he planned this attack, he was positioning his armies, and you want to be able to maybe look like you're coming from this way, but really you have another army that's coming from behind. And it seemed like every time he was doing that, the Israelites knew about it. And he called his officers in, and he this is in the scripture. He called his officers in and he said, which one of you is the traitor? Which one of you is telling all this stuff that we're doing to the other side, so that they're just, they're getting out of every single one of these attacks that we're trying to come at them? And one of them, I don't know how they got this news, but they said, well, it's not us. We're not the traitors. I can promise you that, but I know who it is. It's this guy, Elisha. And Elisha's in there, and he's telling the king, and I like how it explains it. He says, he's telling the king even the things that you're saying in your bedroom. The conversations that you're having in your bedroom, in your bedchambers, he's telling the king about them. Because this guy's hearing from God. So you can imagine the king of Aram is upset about this. And so he tells his officers, he says, I need you to go get Elisha. You go, take the army, take as many guys as you need to. This guy appears to be pretty powerful. So you go, get an army of people, and you go find this guy, and you bring him to me. So Elisha hears about this. He understands that these guys are coming to him. And now Elisha has another guy that has been following him around and just kind of learning from him, just like Elisha had learned from his mentor, Elijah. The guy who had been following Elisha around, his name was Gehazi. And Gehazi is there, and he kind of gets a little bit scared when he realizes that the king of Aram had sent an army to come and get him, and really come to get Elisha. And here they are in the city of Dothan, and they are surrounded by chariots. They're surrounded by an army. And he turns to his mentor, this Gehazi, and he says, hey, what are we going to do? I'm a little bit scared right now about what's about to take place. It looks like we're not going to make it out of here alive. It looks like there is no possibility of us actually making it, maybe even to tomorrow. I don't see any possibility of that happening. We are surrounded right now. And you want to know what Elisha said to him? Elisha looked at him and he said, well, they that are for us are more than those that are against us. And here's Gehazi looking around. And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. Because all I see is me and you. And I see out there an entire army. I don't know what you're talking about. Those that are for us are more than those that are against us. And so Elisha prayed a little prayer. He said, Lord, could you open up the eyes of my brother here? And as he prayed that prayer, the eyes of Gehazi, it says, were opened. And he looked out and he could see there were hills surrounding them. And you could see the army of the king of Aram that was surrounding them. And then just beyond that army, it says that when he looked out there, all of a sudden he saw chariots of fire. And he saw an angelic army that was surrounding the people who had come to capture Elisha. And you looked out and now Elisha says, you may stand here fearing because it looks like you're surrounded right now. You may stand here in fear and look like it doesn't seem like I'm going to get out of this situation that I'm in right now. But when Elisha said, open up his eyes because there's a spiritual army that's on our side. And he opened up the eyes of his servant and he looked out and he realized that those that are for us are greater than those that are against us. Do we have anybody right now who is in a situation? You don't have to raise your hand. You know who you are. But is there anybody who is in a situation right now that it looks like everything is stacked up against you? And I don't know how I'm going to make it to the next day. I don't know how I'm going to kick this addiction that keeps coming and creeping back into my life. I don't know how I'm going to get rid of this bitterness that I have towards that person who wronged me. I don't know how I'm going to get rid of these things that keep popping up in my life. And it looks like everything is stacked up against me. But I can tell you right now that those who are for you are greater than those who are against you. That God's army, that God is able to do anything. And I could tell you what did happen. Because it wasn't just an angelic army that was standing out there and they were just going to sit back. But Elisha, in fact, prayed another prayer. And he said, Lord, could you blind my enemy right now? This guy had a lot of faith. He said, could you just send blindness upon them? And so he prays that prayer and an entire army was blinded. And they lost their sight completely. And so Elisha walks out there to the captain of the army who's walking around. He's trying to feel his way around. I don't know what just happened, but I can't see anything. And he walks out to him and he says, hey guys, what are you doing? We're looking for this guy Elisha. We heard that he's in Dothan. He said, no. You guys came to the wrong place. He's in Samaria. Let me take you to Samaria. And so Elisha the prophet, he takes an entire blind army out to the middle of the desert in Samaria. And he leaves them there. And then it says that the eyes of the people were open and they looked around and they realized, what are we doing out here in the middle of a desert? I'm telling you that God can work out a situation that looks impossible and he can move in and he can work things out in such a way that you are not just going to find the next day. But Elisha lived and he was able to prosper because of he didn't live bound by fear. He didn't live bound by fear. You know, there's a lot of fear that speaks into our life that's just a natural part of who we are. We have insecurities. You know, there's some things in our life where some of us, we look in our past and we say, I've messed up too much. I've messed up too much in the past for God to actually use me for something that is worthwhile. We have this feeling of inadequacy, and really all it's coming from is this fear of saying that I've messed up in the past, I'm probably going to mess up in the future. Who I am in my past defines who I am now. We have this inadequate feeling of who we are, and we believe that God can't do anything because we're bound by our past. We're bound by this fear that's coming in our life that's going to say who you used to be is the same as who you're going to be. But who you used to be is no longer who you are. When you were went down and you were baptized in his name and you, it says, became a new man. You became a new creature. And that can happen every day. That can happen any day of your life. You say, God, I just want you to renew me right now. Don't let my past define me. Don't let me be bound by the inadequacy that I feel. Don't let me be bound by saying I messed up too much that I can no longer be used. You know, sometimes it's not just about our past, but we're just afraid of failure. We're just afraid to fail. You've probably heard the quotes. I think Wayne Gretzky may have said it, that you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. That failure is actually a good thing. Failure is something that you can learn from failing. You can learn some things by going and putting yourself out there. You know, Jesus said that when you go out, he sent out his 70 people, his 70 guys who he said, I want you to bring them, bring people to me. Bring people to me. Go and make disciples. And he said, you're going to have some people that are going to shut a door in your face. You're going to have some people that are going to reject you. He said, just wipe the dust off your feet. Don't worry about it. Move on. He said, you're going to come up against some failures in your life. You're going to have some things that get messed up in your life. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about failing. Don't worry about sometimes, you know, I believe that God wants to work miracles in this place. But he wants to work through somebody who could go and lay their hand upon somebody and they could be healed. But we're afraid to do it because what if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't happen and I lay my hand on them and I pray a prayer of faith believing that they're going to be healed and then they walk out of here and they still have that limp. They still have that sickness. Let me ask you, who's failing? Who's failing? You know, the fact is that we just walk in the Spirit of God and we just allow God to lead us and to guide us. Don't let your pride stop you from praying for somebody, because what if it does happen? What if it does happen that you lay your hands on somebody and that was their opportunity for them to walk out of this place completely changed? What if it does happen? Don't be bound by this fear of failure that says that I'm just never going to go and do anything because I never want to, you know, look like a fool. I never want to look like I made a mistake. Don't be that person, but allow God to use you in such a way that you can go and you can accomplish things for his kingdom. Amen. You know, there's some other failures. You know, really all these things are about our identity. Who am I? Is it all about me or is it all about God? What's my identity? Is this life about me? Is it about me looking like I might fail sometimes? Or is it about just allowing God to lead me and guide me? And whatever he says, I'm just going to go and do it. It doesn't matter if it actually ends up happening or not. I'm just going to allow my identity to be wrapped up in my Creator. Who am I? Who am I? Have I made too many mistakes in my past that God can't use me? Or is my identity in God? And it doesn't matter about the mistakes I've made in my past, because now I have a new name. Now I'm in a new family. And God says that you are not inadequate. You are able to go. You don't have to be bound by fear. You don't have to be bound by things that are going to stop you. You don't have to be bound by the fear of rejection. Just go, and because who are they really rejecting? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. So just go and you reach out and you just keep on. Don't be bound by the fear that could come into your life. But you just keep on doing what God has called you to do. Amen. There's some other fears that we have. That these are some fears that stop us from really reaching our full potential. Or I truly believe these two fears right here is what will stop any kind of growth in this church if we are bound by these two things. We won't see revival. We won't see anybody, any lives change. We won't affect this community if we are bound by these two things right here. The first one is the fear of the unknown. Fear of change. Fear of things being different. get somebody in here who acts different than me, things might change a little bit. Yeah, I get somebody, we would fill up these pews with people, and the truth is, I love seeing people come in and somebody who grew up in church and they have a ministry already that God's established in them. I love seeing that. But what I love seeing more is somebody who's broken and somebody whose life is messed up and them coming to an altar and receiving some hope and receiving something that they can say, I remember the day that God turned my life around. And that's what I want these pews. This is what I want these chairs filled up with, are testimonies of people who have had their life changed. But you know what that might mean, that your ministry, something maybe that you've done, might have to change because there's growth that's happening, there's things that need to change. Maybe that means that you don't have a ministry right now and you're here and you come every Sunday, and things are going to change because we need help. We need somebody who's going to reach out and teach a Bible study. We need somebody who's going to go in to teach a Sunday school class. We need somebody who could go out and be there and just help, even bring somebody in to be baptized, or bring somebody here to the church who doesn't have transportation to get here. We need help. So the fear of the unknown is saying will stop this church if we are afraid of actually expanding, and because that might mean that I might have to do something different. That might mean that I have to get out of my comfort zone. Praise God, I need somebody who is willing to get out of their comfort zone today. I need somebody who is willing to say that if God is going to move in this place, and I believe that revival is here. It's not coming. Revival is here. Have you seen what's been happening in this place? Revival is here. Amen. But God is calling us to go and to do things that we have never done before. So don't be afraid of the unknown. Amen. The next one, I said there are two fears that will stop any kind of growth in this church if we are bound by them. This next one is kind of similar, but it is about the fear of what is different. If you're afraid of what is different, somebody who is different than you. You know that Jesus was ridiculed for this. Jesus was ridiculed because they said, this is the guy, what's he doing? They were talking to his disciples. Why is this guy that you follow around, why does he hang out with the publicans and the sinners? Why does this guy, here we are, we only hang around with the holy people. We only hang around with those people who have been in church all their life, who have never made a mistake. We are justified. We are never going to get around somebody who can make us unclean. Man, what kind of an attitude is that, you Pharisees? We need to get into the lives of somebody who is messed up. You need to get into the lives of somebody. If you don't have any friend, if you don't talk to anybody who doesn't know what it's like to have a salvation experience, if you don't know, or if you're not in the life of somebody or talk to somebody on a regular basis, man, let's just start on every now and then. Let's just start on that at least. If you don't talk to somebody every now and then who doesn't know God, who doesn't know what it's like to experience the power of God and what God can do to change somebody's life, then you need to do that. Don't be afraid of what is different. Don't be afraid of what is different, because it is what is different that then allows you to go and to tell them about the grace of God, and to tell them about how what God can do in your life, it can take all this stuff that you have been trying to, it's hard to go to sleep at night because of all the things that you've done in your life. And God can take all that and he can make you a new person. He can clean up some things in your life. Come on, don't be afraid of what is different. Don't be afraid of that. Amen. Jesus, he was known as a friend of sinners. He was known as a person who would go outside of the comfort zone, who would go outside of who he was, or who would have been expected to be, in order to reach somebody who needed to know God. He said, who am I come for? Am I come for those who are whole? Am I come for those who are sick? I've come to reach those who are sick. He said, it's the sick that need me. Come on, it's those who are going through some things in their life. They're the ones who need you. Well, we need some growth in this church. But if we're going to see any kind of a growth, if we're going to experience revival, then we need to be able to be comfortable enough to talk to somebody who doesn't look like you or act like you, who's maybe doesn't run in the same circles as you do. You need to be able to talk to them on just a one-on-one basis and say, hey, let's link up. And, you know, I'm not going to go in and do the sin that you're doing, or maybe they're doing, but I'm not going to do that. But I want to be able to talk to you and relate with you, because that is what allows us to actually go and to reach somebody who may be different from you, but we can't be afraid of that. You know, the scripture said that we need to cast off fear by living in perfect love. It says perfect love casteth out fear. What is perfect love? Perfect love is the love of God. Perfect love is looking at somebody as a soul. Perfect love is looking at somebody not as just somebody who is here and they've gone through life and their past, and they have all kinds of things. And maybe it's even you looking at your own life, and you see all the things that I've done, all the mistakes that I've made, and you're paralyzed by that, and you say, I can't do anything because I see who I am. But you know how God sees you. He sees you with perfect love. And perfect love says, I can make anything out of you. I can create a beautiful piece of art. I can create a beautiful thing out of you. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what they look like. Perfect love says that I will not be afraid of going and accomplishing whatever God has called me to accomplish, because God can do anything. Perfect love casteth out fear. Amen. I want to speak to just a couple fears here, though, that are paralyzing. You know, a lot of those fears are kind of natural things to us. We look at ourselves and we know ourselves, and we become fearful to do things. We become fearful about our pride being hurt by being rejected, failing. It's kind of natural sometimes to be afraid of change and the unknown, or what is different. Do you know that the enemy, Satan, says that he came to steal, to kill, to destroy? There's some of you in this place here today who he's been working overtime, trying to paralyze you from your future. Trying to paralyze you because he sees what you're about ready to accomplish. Now, he can't see in your future, but he can see where the changes that you've been making. He understands, if I don't stop them now, I'm never going to stop them once they really get going. Once they really start being a soul winner. I'm never going to stop them once they really have all their, have kicked all these habits and these things that they've had in their life. And I'm never going to stop them. If I could stop them now, and he will paralyze you. He will paralyze you. There's some irrational things that he can speak to you about. And there, I believe that right now even, that he's the enemy is speaking to some people in this church with the fear of death. The fear of suicide, and the fear of saying, if I could just end it, maybe it would all be better. And you get so down on yourself, and you look and say, who am I? Who am I? What is my worth? And he'll speak to you, and he starts talking to you, and he comes to you, and maybe it's not just the spirit of suicide that some of us have, that some people in this place have. But if that is you, I want to tell you that you are worth more than anything in this world, that your life is worth, God died for you because you were worth so much. He died in your place. You have a future. Doesn't matter how much it looks like things are stacked up against you. You have a future, in God, and God is going to use you. Don't you let the enemy of your soul speak death into your life, because all he's trying to do is to stop you from accomplishing what you are going to accomplish when you actually allow yourself to be used by God. Well, there's also this fear of death of some that is saying, I'm just at the end of my life. I don't have any kind of worth left in me. And you're just saying, I'm just here until I'm off this earth, and I'm never going to accomplish anything else. And it's just this fear. Let me go and pass on life, and let me be done with all this. Come on, God's not done with you. God's not done with you. Well, there's another fear that the enemy comes at you with, and it's the enemy of your soul that is saying that he is going to make you lose everything that you have gained this far. Some of you have made some incredible changes in your life, and he's been speaking to you and telling you all these changes that you've had, you're just going to go back. You're going to lose it all. You're going to lose it all again. And he's been speaking to you and telling you that all this stuff that you got from me, that you are going to lose all of this. He says, really? I hold all that in my hand. He's been telling you, this is the enemy saying, all that stuff, I have this, and if I can just get you around the right people, then you're going to go right back to it. And it's paralyzing. You come here to church and you say, and you put on a front maybe, and you say, you know, everything's going good and everything, but you go home and all of a sudden you're paralyzed because you're like, I don't really know if I can do this. I don't really know if I've made the change. I don't really know if I've kicked the habit. I don't really know if I'm actually a different person. Don't you let him speak to you right now. Come on. Don't you let him tell you that. Because when Jesus came and he conquered death, hell, and the grave, when he didn't just do that for himself, but he did that for you so that you could conquer every enemy of your soul, so that you could conquer every addiction, everything that's been fighting him in your past, he conquered that, and you conquered it with him when you were bound to Christ. When you became his, come on, you conquered that addiction. You conquered these things, and you are not going to go back. Come on, it's not a 12-step program. You're not always an addict. You are not always, you know, who you used to be. But when God saved you, he created you as a new creature, and you are new in him. And you just come here today, and you don't have to go home and look in a mirror and say, is this really who I am? Yes, you are a child of God. You are a child of God. Come on, some of us, some people in here who are paralyzed by a fear of destruction. Paralyzed by a fear of destruction. You're just afraid. Come on, if I actually sell out, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose my family. Everything's going to be destroyed. I might lose my job. And it's a fear of destruction, and it gets paralyzing. It's a fear that if I actually sell out to God, then those people that I have in my life, that they don't agree with what I've been doing. I'm going to lose them. I can tell you, this is just an irrational fear. It's a paralyzing fear, but it's irrational. And the enemy's putting this in your mind. He's telling you, come on, don't you take another step. Don't you take another step. Because you're going to lose it all. So don't you sell out. Don't you sell out. Come on, you're going to lose who you are. You're going to lose this, your identity. You grew up and you've gone through things in your life, and this is a, you know, you become quite a person, and you have your own identity. And he's saying, if you sell out to God, you're going to lose the person who you are. I can tell you that your identity is actually wrapped up in Christ. Your identity needs to be wrapped up in Christ. And this is a new identity that you can have in your life. And you, You may lose some relationships and you may lose some things, but I can tell you that the power of God is going to give a whole lot more to you than anything that you might lose in this life. And if in anything that you might lose, it can come back through the power of God. But you allow fear to stop you. You allow this fear of destruction, this fear of loss, this fear of death to come into your life. Then you are not going to experience all that God has for you. All of that is a tactic of Satan to get you to back off of his territory. This is what happened. When people were demon possessed. Still actually happens today. We look at the ministry of Jesus, though. And Jesus would come up to, there's a man in the Gadarenes. Jesus just came to this place at Gadara. And there was this guy who had been chained up there because he had been tormenting the people. And he was demon-possessed. And when Jesus walked up, all of a sudden the demons came lashing out at him. This is kind of the last line of defense of the enemy is to try to scare you. He'll lash out. He'll try to get you to back off, saying, this is my territory. And that's exactly what happened there. When Jesus walked into the scene, the enemy, the demons that were in this God, they came on lashing out. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? It's not your time. It's not your time here on earth. And he says, I'm telling you whose time it is. I'm telling you whose time it is. And it's your time right now to get out of this man. And he cast out a legion of demons out of that man. But you need it. So when the enemy comes at you and he starts fighting out and he starts lashing out and he's speaking lies and then fear into your life and you're paralyzed, here's what you do. You look at it and you speak with authority. And you tell him, I will not be bound by fear. You will not stop me. I'm not going to stop moving in this direction. I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. Come on. It may be a tightrope every once in a while where all you can do is carefully put one foot in front of the other. But as long as that tightrope is guided by this, the word of God, which is the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path, you just allow fear to help you lead the way. And you just allow faith to lead the way. And don't let fear get in the way. But you fight back. When the enemy's coming at you and he's speaking fear into your life, you fight back at him. And you tell him, you do not have authority over me. Come on, I'm coming to a close right now. If we could all just stand in this place. Come on, I believe we're getting ready for a baptism. Come on, but I believe that there's somebody in this place that you've had fear that has been dictating your life, that's been dictating some things that you have been bound by and paralyzed by, that God's getting ready to set you free to do a ministry and a work for Him. And there's some things that are about to explode and some things that we're going to change in this place because God is ready to do a work through you when you are no longer bound by fear. Jesus. You know, when you're not bound by fear, there are irrational things that you might do. You know, the devil, he may throw irrational fears at you, but all of a sudden, there's some irrational things that you might do if you're no longer bound by fear. Some things that he would say, that's crazy. Peter did something that was crazy when Jesus came walking out to him on the water. Peter said, if that's really you, Jesus, then call me to come out there with you. Call me to step out of the boat with you. And when Jesus said, it's me, come, Peter did something irrational that day. You know, it would have been pretty rational to be afraid to step out of a boat in the middle of a lake. And to just step out of the boat, that's pretty rational to be afraid. I'm going to sink. But Peter, he stepped out of the boat because he understood, I'm not going to be bound by fear, but I'm going to put my trust and my faith in the one who can overcome all fear. Who the one who, they were there in the midst of a storm. in the midst of a storm, there were things going on in their life that it was rational to be afraid of. But Peter stepped out and he did something irrational. Come on, I'm ready for somebody to do something irrational in your life that says, I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to trust God. I might knock on my neighbor's door and I'm going to just talk to them and bring them a plate of cookies and say, hey, what's going on in your life? I just want to get to know you a little bit. You know, maybe that doesn't seem crazy, but maybe to you that does, because you haven't talked to them and you've lived next to them for 10 years. A little bit irrational for you. Maybe it's a little bit irrational for you to talk to that person who's sitting next to you in the restaurant on your lunch break. And you just see them and it looks like they may be going through some stuff, and you just slide right on over to them. And it's a little irrational for you because you would never do this. But I'm going to stare at fear in the face and say, you know what? I'm just going to trust God to lead me through this. I'm going to step out of the boat. Do we have anybody in this place who wants to just come on up here and say, I'm going to step out of the boat this week. I'm going to do something different for God. I'm not going to allow fear to bind me. I'm not going to allow fear to capture me and to keep me and, you know, honed in. And I'm not going to be bound by that. But I'm going to do something irrational this week. I'm not letting irrational fears bind me. But I'm going against the grain, and I'm going to do something irrational for the kingdom of God. I'm going to go and do something outside the box. I'm going to go and reach somebody who I haven't talked to in a long time. I'm going to go and do something that it may not be in my comfort zone. It may not be in my wheelhouse, but I am going to just go and do what God has called me to do. Come on, let's sing a song. Let's praise God. We're going to get ready for a baptism. Come on, but I want you right now just to speak to fear right now. Just speak to fear. Maybe fear has been binding you. Speak to it. Speak to it. Take authority over it. Jesus. Yes, Jesus.